So we're going to continue with our theme of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev. So now we'll focus on Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, which are one of the most complete and fully devotional prayers, covering both devotion and philosophy. So this is the verse number 10 from the 7th canto, 9th chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vipradvisara guni dvipadvisara guni taravinda nabhya. Padaravinda vimukat swapacham varistam. Manye tat arpita mano vachanehi tartha. Pranam punanti sakulam natu buri manaha. Vipradvisad guna yutar aravinda nabham. Padaravinda vimukat svapacham varishtam. Manye tararpita mano vachanehi tartha. Pranam punanti sakulam natu buri manaha. Viprat visadguni yutar aravinda nabha. Padaravinda mukarat swapacham parishtam. Manye tararpita mano vachanehi tartha. Pranam punanti sakulam natu buri manaha.
Padaravinda vimukat svapacham varishtam.
Ladies? Padaravinda mukara swacha champaristam. Manye tararpita mano vachane hitartha. Madharani, your mother will be proud of you. Go ahead. Dvi prati sa guna yutara ravinda nava. Ravinda mukhasal swachasam bharistam. No matihe nitartha. Good. Viprat. Then a brahmana. Dvi sat guna yutat. Qualified with 12 brahminical qualities. These are the 12 qualities of a perfect brahman. Following religious principles. Speaking truthfully. Controlling the senses by undergoing austerities and penances. Being freed from jealousy. Being intelligent. Being tolerant. Creating no enemies. Performing yajna. Giving charity. Being steady. Being well versed in Vedic study and observing vows. Aravinda Nabha, Lord Vishnu, who has a lotus growing from his navel. Pada Aravinda, to the lotus feet of the Lord. Vimokat, not interested in devotional service. Swapacham, one born in a low family or a dog eater. Varistam, more glorious. Manye, I consider. Tad arpita, surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Manaha, his mind. Vachana, words. Vihita, every endeavor. Artha, well. Pranam, and life. Punati, purifies. Saha, he, the devotee. Kulam, his family. Not. Two, but. Burimanaha, one who falsely thinks himself to be in a prestigious position. So Prabhupada Maharaj continues with his prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. In the previous verse, he's talking about people who have all good material qualities, such as wealth, beauty, austerity, education, body luster, physical strength, intelligence, mystic power. But these alone cannot satisfy the Lord. Even Gajendra the elephant had none of these, and he satisfied the Lord. So here now the Prahlad Maharaj continues. If a Brahmana has all 12 of the vernical qualities, as stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is adverse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmana, because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. Prabhupada's purport. Here is a statement by Prahlad Maharaj, one of the 12 authorities, regarding the distinction between a devotee and a Brahman expert in Karmakanda or ritualistic ceremonies. So Prahlad Maharaj was categorized as Mahajan, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta. A Mahajan is one who knows and can teach the conclusions of all Vedic knowledge. They are authorized personalities who have proved themselves by their study and by their preaching and by the power of devotional service. They are designated as Mahajans. Mahajans means great personality. So Prahlad Maharaj is one of them. And here, he's speaking that for Prabhupada gives an authority to Prahlad Maharaj before he starts to expand what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. If you want to really understand something correctly, you have to have it coming from an authoritative source. Nowadays, people like to speak about different things but have no authority on it. Or maybe have some book knowledge but cannot practice what they read. So that's not an authority. So the word acharya means one who teaches by example. Not only can teach, but his example is perfectly aligned with his teachings. Sometimes we say in English parlance, there's your action, you're speaking so loud. You're speaking so loud, I can't hear. How does that go? No.
Your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear your words.
Yeah, your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear your words. In other words, if one is not living up to the statements, his actions are actually more him than his actual words. So the words have power only when the actions are aligned with the words. In other words, teaching by example, rather than teaching by knowledge through book learning, has to be fortified with example. Now you might say, well, sometimes a person will preach Krishna consciousness, maybe not up to the standard of what he's preaching. But if he's following the process perfectly, even though he may not be completely up to the standard of the knowledge he's giving, then he is considered authority on the level of his practice. Prabhupada used to say, just repeat what you hear, and that is good, because you're hearing it from an authority, and you repeat. So really, it's not about you, it's about repeating the perfect authority, therefore the knowledge is perfect. But your repeating will have more effect, it'll have effect, because you're repeating from the perfect authority. But your words will have more effect when you actually are living what you're speaking. So although we can't wait till we actually come to the highest platform before we speak about the highest platform, but we have to somehow or other always refer to the acharyas. Therefore, we see when some authority speaks, they reference their speech in reference to other great souls or on the Shastra itself, either one, like that. So Prahlad Maharaj is an authority. And he's making a distinction between a devotee and a brahmana who follows the Vedic ritualistic sermons. And Prabhupada goes on. There are four varnas and four ashrams, which divide human society. But the central principle is to become a first-class pure devotee. It is said in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, Bhagava Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japas Tapaha Aprasya Naivam Dehasya Mandanam Lokarajanam. If one is born in a high family like that of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, but is not a devotee of the Lord, all his good qualities as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya are null and void. Indeed, they are considered decorations on a dead body. So here, we're speaking about qualities. One has to exhibit the qualities that one is designated as. So sometimes a person will be brahminically initiated and not exhibiting brahminical qualities. That means one has to work and come up to the standard, otherwise their practice and devotional service will not have effect. The qualities of a person is the character of the person, and it's also their way to reach others with these same qualities. So it's very fundamental, we might say, to understand that it's not a matter of title or position, it's a matter of character and qualities. These are the two things. Even great learning on the Shastras, if it's not backed by the qualities, it's more or less external. It doesn't really take root into the soul. And therefore, unless one develops the inner mood, which is the basis of developing the qualities, the external is simply pretense, like that. Simply pretense. We were, last weekend, we were in Zagreb, and we were giving a lecture, seminar in Manashiksha by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Very deep philosophical teachings on the highest principles of practicing the mood of Vrindavan. And he's using his mind as a way to preach and teach these principles. So he preaches to his mind. That's why it's called mana shiksha. Mana means mind and shiksha means instructions to the mind. Now the acharyas make a point, and the point is very interesting, that there's two aspects to devotional service. One is called the esoteric and the other one is called the exoteric. Exoteric means external activities, and esoteric means internal mood. Now, there's different schools. Some emphasize the external, and some emphasize the internal, and some combine both with emphasis on one or the other. So what is our school? Our school is the esoteric, not the exoteric, in the mood of practicing the exoteric. So in other words, we chant Hare Krishna, we read the Shastras, we do our devotional service, but without developing the proper mood, Jai Sisi Panchatattva Ki Jai, without developing the proper internal mood, then one's devotional service becomes just external. In other words, the heart doesn't change. So practicing the process and going into the mood of the devotional service is what Raghunath Das Goswami is teaching and what Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also taught. The danger of the external process is people can imitate the external process and look like they're actually doing devotional service. That's called sahajya. They simply imitate by performing the activities, but there is no substance, or very little substance. But the internal practice cannot be imitated, and cannot be, what we say, corrupted. Because it is the essence of the living entity's relationship with Krishna. So one should cultivate the mood of devotional service along with cultivating the activities of devotional service. Because if you just perform the activities, you'll just go on year after year, and really, you won't get much of a taste. Cultivating the internal mood is the actual mood of loving devotion to Krishna by applying the principles in relationship to the practice. Applying the right mood like that. So this is the balance. So here, we might say this is, one is born in you're a Brahmin, you're a Kshatriya, and you're a Vaishya, but if you're not practicing these things according to the teachings of these particular varnas, then it's simply, as Prabhupada says, decorations on the dead body, like that. Any questions on that before I go on farther? Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes these mystical qualities seem too difficult, and they're not inspiring. They're like burden.
Well, those qualities are part of you. You just have to bring them out. They're not something that's on the outside, and then you have to just practice, and you have to somehow get them. They're there. They're in the soul. You just have to bring them out. That's all. So bringing out bringing it out may be a little difficult, but it's not like you're getting it from the outside, and you have to somehow or other make it happen. So the process of devotional service uncovers your good qualities. That's all. So it's not difficult in the sense that it's foreign, it's you. It's every soul has all good qualities, because every soul is part and parcel of Krishna. But the process of devotional service means, therefore Arjuna said to Krishna, to control the mind is like controlling the wind, and he gave many adjectives describing how difficult it is to control the mind. But Krishna gave the formula for success. He says if you constantly practice these things and you stop practicing those things that take away from those things you're trying to do, if you're trying to build a fire and you're pouring water on it at the same time, the fire won't really burn much. It might sizzle a little. So in the same way, the internal mood is fortified by constant practice, and then every time we deviate from that, we slow down that process of internal. So one has to be very conscious of what to avoid, at the same time practicing what is recommended. Because I see sometimes, and this is not a criticism, I see devotees doing the wrong thing. And at the same time, they're practicing Krishna consciousness because they're not trained in what is the right thing. You know. So because there's lack of training or lack of assimilating that knowledge, they're doing a lot of things, but they're not getting much out of it because they're doing the wrong things. I see that a lot. Especially in temple etiquette, which is also very important, because temple etiquette, if it's not done rightly, it causes offenses, and offenses take away from our devotional life. So therefore, that's why Prabhupada said behavior and character is more important than philosophical knowledge. Although philosophical knowledge is important, it's one's behavior and character that makes the person who they are. Because a person can learn a lot of knowledge, but if their character and heart is still very much attached to the external material energy, then it's just, as it says here, it's external decorations on the dead body. So this is what's being said here. So in the same way, stop doing the wrong thing. Because the right thing is so powerful that it can take you quickly, fastly, to the lotus feet of the Lord. But the wrong thing, slow that down. What is the wrong thing? Acting on our material desires and committing offenses. These are the two things, most of those, still trying to fulfill material desires and committing offenses. These severely slow down our practice. And sometimes they even interrupt our spiritual advancement. So it's important to carefully avoid those things. Otherwise, the process is easy. The process itself is very easy. And I might say another one of the things we also have to be aware of, what are the instructions of the spiritual master, so we don't do something that is against the instructions of the spiritual master. That's also important. So we might say, well, I don't know the instructions of the spiritual master. A person might go to court and say, I didn't know I was supposed to drive on the left side, the right side of the road. I'm from India. Well, you're getting a ticket anyway. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So I'm saying ignorance of not knowing what to do doesn't free you from the reactions that you get from doing the wrong things. That's why we have to learn what Prabhupada is teaching us and what to avoid, like that. Like sitting like this, says in the Nectar of Devotion, is offense in the temple, because it says, do not hold your arms around your legs in front of the deities. Now, if the deities weren't open, that would be different, but the deities are open, that's one of the offenses in temple worship. I'm just using you as an example. Devotees do that a lot, they pull like that. But you read Nectar Devotion.
Also like this?
No, the legs like this, when you go like this. I don't want to do it again, because I don't want to commit any offenses, but no, that's mentioned. It's written right in the Nectar Devotion. So if we don't read the books, or if we don't hear the lectures, then we'll be doing things that we may think is ordinary or okay, but it's not. That's why we have to read, and we have to hear, and we have to ask questions for clarifications. Thank you. Any other questions related to what I said so far? Okay. So we'll go on. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj speaks of the Vipras, the learned Brahmanas. The learned Brahmana is considered best among the divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. But a devotee born in a low Chandala family is better than such Brahmanas, not to speak of the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and others. A devotee is better than anyone, for he is in the transcendental position on the Brahman platform. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, that one transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So this verse that is being quoted here from the Bhagavad Gita 14:26 explains what is the spiritual platform. One who engages in devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, then they're no longer within the modes of material nature, they have reached the spiritual platform. So full devotional service is transcendental to the material energy. The 12 qualities of a first-class Brahmin, as stated in the book Sanat Sujata, are as follows. And then Prabhupada just gives the Sanskrit. Jnana-sasyatyam cha-dhamma-srutam cha ya-am-risaryam-rishitik-sik-sanasasuya yagyascha danam cha dhritta samascha mahavrita dvadasa brahmanasya. He doesn't give the translation. We read that. The Europeans and the American devotees in Krishna conscious movement are sometimes accepted as Brahmins, but the so-called caste Brahmins are very much envious of them. In answer to such envy, Prahlad Maharaj says that one who has been born in a Brahmin family but is falsely proud of his prestigious position cannot even purify himself, not to speak of his family. Whereas a chandala, a low-born person, is a devotee and has fully surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord, he can purify his entire family. Prabhupada uses the example of us. Coming from European and American backgrounds, we're not trained in Brahminical culture. We're all brought up on sense gratification. That's these cultures. But still, one comes to Krishna consciousness, practices, learns the qualification, and becomes qualified. That person is considered to be a Brahmin. And the people say, well, Brahmin means, you know, like Janma, birth. But no, scriptures say it is not by birth, but it's by qualifications. And even if one has the birth, but doesn't practice the qualifications, they cannot save themselves. Whereas one who has a low birth, but becomes qualified, can save himself and others. And this is Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. So people look externally at a person's, what we say, birth or material situation and judge that person accordingly. But that is actually, in one sense, offensive. One should be judged by their actions. One should be judged by their actions. What they say and what they do both. But mostly what we do. Like that. So that's, and Prabhupada's very proud of his American and European disciples in the sense that they were really low, but now they have become, what we say, brahmanas. Just see. It shows the power of Mahaprabhu's mercy. And Prabhupada goes on, Americans and Europeans, no, he says, we have had actual experience of how Americans and Europeans, because of their full Krishna consciousness, have purified their whole families, so much so that a mother of a devotee at the time of her death inquired about Krishna with her last breath. Therefore, it is theoretically true and has been practically proven that a devotee can give the best service to his family, his community, his society, and nation. See, this is important. That sometimes people say, well, what are you doing for society? What are you doing for your community? What are you doing for to help the poor people? And they say you're pulling away from social and family responsibilities and you're just becoming a useless person, a parasite. But it says, if one is engaged in devotional service, one is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the benefactor of all. And therefore, by the power of that devotional service, the Lord benefacts everyone through that devotee's devotional service. Prabhupada gives a nice example of a person's mother. She asked about Krishna at the time of death. And there are many. There are many examples where many devotees, mothers or fathers, have become devotees, and some, at the time of death, even chanted the holy names of the Lord. There are many, 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 not just a few, but many, many examples like that. So this is how a devotee's influence spreads to the community, to the family, even to the nation, and even around the world. What is that verse? Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Staptitam Yena Buddha Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatika. Glorifying Srila Rupa Goswami as being the benefactor of the entire world. He never left Vrindavan. He's sitting in one place, but because of the power of his devotional service, the whole world is becoming purified. We can make a bold statement, maybe some people will take issue with what I'm about to say, but because of the presence of the devotional service in the world today, the world is somehow going on. Otherwise, people are so sinful that that it would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's because of the devotees' devotional service and that they're helping others become purified, the atmosphere is somehow or other still a little bit pleasant. But the rest of the world, mostly, people are just engaged in vicious and very sinful activities in the name of country, society, and so many other isms that they want to propagate as the way to success. So you have to understand that when you're engaged in devotional service, you're helping everybody. Not just yourself, or not just your family, but the whole world is benefiting by the power of one's devotional service. That's how powerful this process is, because it connects directly through the parampara with Krishna himself, who is the source and controller of everything. And when Krishna is pleased, everyone some benefits. Even the demons benefit when Krishna is pleased. That's the power of devotional service. So Prabhupada wants to make that point. And then he goes on to say, the foolish accuse a devotee of following the principle of escapism, but actually the fact is that the devotee is in the right person to elevate his family. A devotee engages everything in the service of the Lord, and therefore he is always exalted. So, just to make that emphasis on how powerful devotional service is. Sometimes people want to help another person, so you can help. The more you become a pure devotee, the more you're helping everybody. Because a devotee has influence. Everyone has influence. And the more spiritual the influence, the more that it spreads itself. It's like the sun. When the sun is in the sky, the entire atmosphere, the entire environment gets the benefit of the sun rays. So when a devotee is in one's family, that whole society, that whole community, everyone is benefited. Yeah, it's a fact. Any questions?
I heard that the Muslim religion is the one fast spreading in the world. So,
Our movement is spreading in what we say increments. It's spreading slowly, but sometimes it takes a big jump forward. But mostly it's very gradual. Once this TOVP, Temple of Vedic Planetarium, is built, the Shastras say then from there the whole world will become, what we say, purified. That's Shastra, yeah. Once that is built, that'll change the whole world. Finish. It's a real slap in the face to Maya, that TOVP. It's powerful. Janani Vas quoted that from Shastra when he was speaking about the TOVP. It says, at that time, when this temple is built, Mahaprabhu's movement will rapidly permeate the world. It's interesting. So we have the prophecy to look at, but we don't have the prophecy to lay back on to. Doesn't mean we just take it easy because it's going to happen. We can also delay things by our own lack of enthusiasm, because Krishna works through his devotees. For Krishna to make the whole world Krishna conscious, it's easy. He can do that if he wants to, but that's not how he does things. He does it through his energies. So each devotee becomes his, what we say, his energy to spread Krishna consciousness, like that. Yeah, so our movement is spreading slowly, but at sometimes it takes a leap. Everyone's so tired. Nobody wants to speak philosophy. They're all so tired. No questions, no comments. Is this a dull subject or something? I thought it was pretty interesting. No questions? Come on, let's talk about philosophy instead of going to sleep. Yes. As opposed to?
Not paying them any attention.
Well, Prabhupada quotes Sanat Sujata, Sanat Kumara. And he says that these are also, because then you have the nine qualities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, and then Prabhupada adds this to those nine. Some of them overlap the other ones, like being tolerant, being steady, being well versed in Vedic studies like that. So I'm trying to understand the nature of your question. I think it's.
How a devotee in our society, should they pay attention to practicing these qualities?
It seems like. Seems like. There's some as one being freed from jealousy. That seems to be something that is from the negative aspect, and others are like says being intelligent. Don't be like this, but be like this. Another one is creating no enemies. Don't do that. Another one is be tolerant. That's and do that. So it's kind of like it's a little different. You see, don't do the don'ts are also there as one of the qualities, along with the do's. Whereas in the Bhagavad Gita, it's all do's. That's a little interesting here. So this is more like giving warning signs that these things are important. Yes, I think we should see these things as essential. Speaking truthfully, satyam, that's also following religious principles, dharma, controlling the senses by performing austerities and penances. If we don't restrict the senses and mind from doing what it wants, then it can lead us into different difficult situations. But here, it gives you the formula. Undergo some austerities and penances, and it becomes more easier to control the senses. Being intelligent, this is interesting. It doesn't really mean, being intelligent doesn't really mean simply knowing the scriptures. It means being able to apply the philosophy in a right way. A lot of times we see, sometimes we use the term spaced out. a devotee is spaced out, that means he's not thinking about what he's supposed to be doing. His mind is somewhere else, like that. So being intelligence means to activate that consciousness. So he got, yes, what is your name?
Sasha.
Sasha.
Yeah.
Okay.
About influence.
About?
About influence.
Influence. The stronger you are, the less you're affected by what happens outside. Yeah, just like if you're attracted to material sense gratification and you're in that atmosphere, then you'll be pulled in that way. But if you're not attracted, even though you're in the atmosphere, you won't be. So this, your own spiritual prowess, power, allows you not to be affected by the external environment. A person may even see something that is very sensuous and become completely unfazed by it. Another person may become, may actually fall down because of that. So, yeah. So your own spiritual strength insulates you and protects you from the external environment. And your intelligence helps you to use the external environment in the proper way. In other words, for devotional service. So, it's all about you. So don't, as we were saying in the other day, there's no enemy except the mind. Prahlad Maharaj makes that point. The only enemy is our own mind. When the mind is controlled and directed towards the spiritual, towards Krishna and devotional service, then the mind is your friend. When it's not, sometimes we think, oh, this person is my friend and this person is my enemy. Well, we actually create this false sense based on how we want, how we judge things on a material level. But on a spiritual level, everyone, no one's a friend and no one's an enemy. Krishna is the only friend, and Krishna allows us to be friends with others because of his influence. Where on a material level, my friend means we get together and we do what we like together and we kind of support each other. My enemy is the opposite. But a devotee has no friend because he knows that whatever anybody who's friendly to him is simply exhibiting Krishna's qualities, that's all. Did you get that one?
Yes.
You sure? Before you eat the next bite, you got to digest the one before then. Okay. Don't eat too fast because you won't digest. You got that one? Partial.
I know
that
this friend,
if
he's really a friend, if the devotee sees him like he's exhibiting Krishna's practice.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And if you're stronger in bhakti, doesn't this sense of gratification
Yeah, you're not affected.
I have one more example. If I'm if I'm walking with a devotee, like in park, we're chanting, and then he's chanting, I'm like normal, arm close, and he's in dhoti, and then he's chanting Nrsimha Kavacha, we love. We're just going to people and this. And my mind gets agitated.
Why are you agitated? What is the reason for your agitation?
I think because expression of what others would think. But I know what's happening and everything, and still it chanting focus, but the mind is just
at the... He's going up to people and chanting?
Mm-hmm.
He's approaching people or just chanting
no,
out?
No, just chanting.
Oh, he's just chanting out loud and you're walking with him. Why does that bother you? Well, you can... You should tell him chant Hare Krishna. Then it's okay. He's chanting the Sringa's mantras. No, that's nice too. That's for protection, generally. And to glorify Lord Nisringadev. But generally we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay, anything else? Sleepy morning. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Prahlad Maharaj ki. Gaur Premanande Hari 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 Bol.